Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Parkmanship Podcast. My name's Ryan, and with me is Andrew. Andrew, how are you doing?
Good. It's hot.
It's very hot. It's like a feels like a temperature of 100 degrees today in Connecticut.
Yeah. Speaking of kind of record like heat this summer, did you see in England that it reached like record temperatures for the first time? It was like 40 degrees Celsius or something crazy.
Yeah, I don't know how to translate Celsius to Fahrenheit, but yeah, I heard they broke some records over there.
Yeah. Yeah, let's get into it. We're going to be talking about California Part 2 today.
Yep.
But we're going to kick it off with some news stories of the week.
Yep.
Ryan, let's dive in. You want to go first? You want me to go first?
I'll go first.
All right, go for it.
So I don't actually have a news story. I just wanted to talk about my day trip to Long Island's National Park sites. I went there last Friday, and both of us have been to the two beforehand, and we're probably going to save a lot of it for a future episode because I think it would make for a great content for a future episode. But I just wanted to briefly say how great Sagamore Hill National Historic Site, which is the home of Theodore Roosevelt, and Fire Island National Seashore, which preserves the island south of Long Island. They're both fantastic parks, and they both have a great variety of history and nature, whereas I think a lot of parks are either history or nature. I think both of these do a great job of preserving both. So visit if you have the opportunity to do so. That's Sagamore Hill National Historic Site and Fire Island National Seashore.
Yep. I'm going to go into another park we visited. Actually, was it this year? Yeah, it was this year. Hot Springs National Park. Tourism to the Hot Springs National Park in Arkansas has created $208 million in economic benefits, which is huge for that kind of area.
Yeah, it's in the middle of nowhere, kind of.
It's not kind of. It is in the middle of nowhere. It's just that town appears, and then there's nothing kind of in between for a while.
Yeah, the town is the park.
Yeah, the town is the park. It's a great way for the Park Service to keep on funding itself when people go to these, you know, not so big parks and spend money on, you know, maybe a t-shirt for a family member, stuff like that. Visit, pay, you know, I don't think there was a visitor fee. Was there? No.
But there was, if you want to do the tower, you had to pay.
Yeah.
That was it.
There's like these little charges. They're not much, but they add up for the Park Service to continue to bring us, you know, these great, wonderful parks.
Yep.
I guess let's hop into it. Let's get back to California Part 2. Where did we leave off?
We left off camping in Point Mugu State Park in Santa Monica Mountains.
Oh, yeah. And then we headed up from... That was pretty cool, though. I like that. Yeah,
that was a cool campsite.
Yeah, it was. Where were we driving to next day? Was it Joshua Tree, right?
Yeah. Do you remember anything from that drive?
Giant windmills.
No, that was the drive to Cesar Chavez.
Oh, weed signs. Was that it?
Maybe.
It was like weed sign and then why weed was bad sign. And then it was weed sign. And then just like it was like Christian billboard weed, like weed store. And then, yeah, I do remember that.
Yeah. The only thing I remember from that drive is waking up really early and having trouble driving originally because the sun was right in my face. And I forgot my sunglasses for that trip.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, it was a brutal sun.
Yeah. We ate lunch. Well, was it lunch or breakfast at the crossroads?
I think it was brunch.
It was brunch, right?
Yeah, definitely brunch.
I had the best French toast there. I remember that.
So, yeah, we stopped at Crossroads Cafe, which is in the town of Joshua Tree. And that's the one of the gateway towns to Joshua Tree National Park.
Mm-hmm.
And, it was really good. I had the best huevos rancheros I've ever had there. Really awesome place.
Yeah. Regret not going there a second time while we were there, but that's a story for later.
Oh, I really regret not going a second time. I wanted to go a second time there, but someone else talked me out of it.
Yeah, we went to this place we'll talk about later. And after that, we went to the Joshua Tree Tree Visitor Center, which I thought was pretty cool. I remember there being a biker gang. I don't know if that was that one or the other one.
It was this one, because this was the Joshua Tree Visitor Center is on the main strip in the town of Joshua Tree. It was like actually a few buildings down from Crossroads Cafe.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I thought it was nothing special really. We got our entrance pass there, and they had like a few dioramas and a very small gift shop there.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. The only thing I remember getting into park, we had to wait a little bit because there was a little bit of a line, I think.
There was a station. There was.
Yeah. I do remember driving into the park seeing drone things.
Yeah, that's in all national parks. You cannot fly a drone in any national park.
Yeah, don't think about it. They have the right to shoot it down.
Really? They do?
Yeah, it's on the sign.
Oh,
yeah.
That's intense.
Yeah. I don't know if it's with a net gun or with a gun, but it says the right to shoot it down.
I want to see that one time. Somebody trying to fly their drone and a ranger just comes out and shoots it down.
Yeah, that would be cool. We drove in. We went to the Barker Dam hike.
Yeah, this was a hike I really wanted to do just because I read that this is where your best chance at seeing bighorn sheep is. And guess what, Andrew?
We didn't see any bighorn sheep.
No, we did. Remember?
Oh, yeah, we did. Yeah. I'm thinking Montana, where we drove up to that same spot four times and there were no sheep, and I was very disappointed.
No, it was the mountain goats.
Yeah, that's what it was. We have really bad luck with wildlife sometimes, and then we have like amazing luck with some.
Yeah. I mean, while I was in Glacier, the day before, no, it was the day you came, but you hadn't met up with us yet.
Yeah.
We had bighorn sheep like walk within like 10 feet of us. It was crazy.
Yeah. I think it was a good hike. Was that the one where you could see the ocean? Or was that another hike? It's been a while since.
No, that was something else.
Yeah.
We'll get to that. But yeah, I thought it was great. I thought it was a great intro to the Joshua trees. That's really like we saw tons of Joshua trees driving in. But like this is the first one where we got to walk up to Joshua trees. And then this was also the place where they had the petroglyphs there, but like there was some graffiti next to them, which kind of ruined it.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Yeah.
But it was still pretty cool to see actual petroglyphs.
Yeah, it was really cool.
Yep. But yeah, then we started auto touring throughout the park. There's a lot of paved road in the park. So
I have some great I have some great shots from just the road hitting
in the middle of the desert.
Yeah, it's really cool. It's something else, honestly.
Yeah. But the first place we visited while auto touring was Keys View, which is a high elevation site. And this is the place where it kind of looked like you could see ocean from here, although I don't think it was. I think it was a mirage.
Yeah. It's something. It's high. You see for miles. It's pretty cool. I have a pretty cool photo of myself there. I know you do too.
Yeah, we did a photo session up there.
Yeah.
We'll have to share it on our Facebook.
Yeah, there's a lot of good photos from Joshua Tree.
Yeah, it's a very scenic place. It's a very interesting environment. And like scientifically, it's an interesting environment too, just because it's one of the rare places in the world where two desert ecosystems meet each other.
Yeah.
It's the Mojave and the Colorado Desert, I think, that meet up in Joshua Tree.
Yeah. I do want to go back to that area because I do want to go to the Mojave Desert. So that seems really cool, but that's another time. Anyway, we also went to the Cactus Garden. What were they called again?
The Chala Cactus Garden. That was another main point that we hit while auto touring. And that was really cool because it's just this huge garden of really funky looking cactuses that kind of look like large woolly caterpillars. I would describe them as.
No, that's a good description. I have some good photos of those too.
And actually the Chala Cactus Garden is like pretty much the exact point where the Mojave and Colorado deserts meet.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And then we also visited Skull Rock.
Yeah,
which kind of looks like a Skull Rock. I don't know. Did you climb on top of that one?
No, but across the street from, I climbed a bunch across the street from Skull Rock.
That's what it was.
Because
Yeah.
Skull Rock has like, it's a very very popular climbing area. Not the Skull Rock itself, but that area. And yeah, I climbed up a few rocks myself.
Yep, I have a good photo of you there.
You were in the park watching me do.
Yeah, because it was hot. It was like 100 plus degrees.
It was very hot. I got my picture taken with the thermometer at the visitor center.
Yeah, I took that. I feel like that should have been like assumed, but you know what? Fine. And then we stopped at the Oasis Visitor Center where the thermometer was, right? That was on the other side.
Yeah, but before that, I forget where it was. It was either by the Chala Cactus Garden or Skull Rock. We were driving and we saw a Roadrunner
Oh, that's
pass in front of our
right.
car.
Yeah, that was cool.
That was really cool.
Yeah, that was a
Unfortunately,
fun place to drive.
yeah, it was. It was very open. The paved roads are very easy to drive, not so much the off-roading, because there's a lot of off-roading there. We'll get to
What
that.
the? Yeah.
But yeah, then we head up the Oasis Visitor Center, which is, I forget where, but it's on the other side of the park. And I thought this was the more interesting of the two visitor centers, just because it had that outdoor area that was pretty much an oasis. It was a bunch of trees that you could like kind of sit down and relax in the shade. And then inside it had the prehistoric dioramas, so I thought those were cool.
Yeah, that was I think that you're right. That was the better two. The only one, I think the other reason the other one sticks out on my head is definitely because there was like 40 bikers there.
Yeah, I mean, it was right in the town.
Yeah.
That felt like a
Yeah, it did. I think there was some hippie festival going on too.
probably. I feel like that's like the area for that.
Oh, 100%.
I mean, they did. Have you ever watched Entourage?
Yeah, a long time ago now, but yeah.
But there's that one episode where they go to Joshua Tree with Gary Busey, and they just smoke weed the entire episode.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, Gary Busey's fucking insane.
Yeah, he is.
All
Language, language.
right, let's get back to it. The hotel. We stayed at a Super 8 because
Yeah, we booked at the last moment. We were gonna camp, and then I decided against it.
it was like what 75, 80 degrees at night.
Well, I mean, it was also one of those. It was the walk-in ones where you don't reserve it in advance, and I just got like anxious about doing that. I
Yes.
prefer the re reservation system.
Yeah. And then we went to the infamous Italian restaurant we kind of mention all the time.
Yeah, I mean there was a Sizzler right next door, which I'm not really into like chain restaurants, but I was like, if we're not doing Crossroads Cafe, Andrew, let's do this. And you're like, no, we have to check out this Italian restaurant.
Yeah. We walk in. There's a man playing the piano.
There's a
Poor.
Marilyn Monroe cutout.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. There was that cutout. Yeah. I think the guy playing the piano did not know how to play the piano. I'm pretty sure he just played like variations of Hot Cross Buns multiple times. Feel like that's right. And then they had this poorly painted like Italian Vista on the back wall. It kind of more looked like a French Riviera than an Italian place. And then this our waiter gets to our table. Do you remember how bad his accent was?
I do not.
Oh man, this guy had like put on this fake Italian accent. It was really bad. I think it is like we're in the middle of desert in California. Like so par for the course is the Italian food shouldn't be that great, but
This
this
place
one
away from Italy, you can possibly be.
it was bad.
Actually, I thought the food was fine. I got chicken parm. I know you had
Pasta.
severe issues with your food.
Yeah, they messed up my order 3 times because I just asked for like pasta and butter because I'm simple. And they brought me like 3 different p orders of pasta that weren't mine. That restaurant was terrible. I don't think it exists anymore because I tried to find it.
So did I. It definitely doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah, it was bad.
Should have gone to back to Crossroads Cafe, as I said from the beginning.
I will chalk that one up to Ryan being slightly right.
Thank you.
We went back to our hotel after that awful experience.
No, we
They
didn't. We
where'd
did
we
not, because we spent so much time there because of your order situation that we were getting late to see the sunset, which we wanted.
That's right.
Off-roading. So we just went straight off-roading.
I forgot that was that night. I thought it was the other night.
That was
And
we were trying to go to this place called Covington Flats, which is this apparently like this very scenic off-road place in Joshua Tree. And we never made it to Covington Flats proper because we definitely put our rental car through the ringer.
We got airtime in a rental car, that's for sure. So let me paint a picture. Ryan, was it me or you driving?
It was you driving.
Ryan says, go this way. And I don't know, I'm going like 40, 50 in the desert. So it's already kicking up sand, right? And
also off-road in the desert.
Yeah, 100%. And all of a sudden, I'm like, Ryan, that looks like it looks like it goes downhill. And he's like, no, you're fine. And I kid you not, I'm pretty sure we got 2-3 feet of air because I went off this embankment at 50 miles an hour. I thought we broke the suspension on the car.
It was fine. We survived. The car survived. No extra charges for rental.
It was something else.
But I thought that the area that we did end up at, we didn't make it all.
It was nice.
It was really cool. Tons of Joshua trees. We got to shoot Joshua trees in the golden hour. And then we heard some coyotes too, which I thought was a really cool experience. You did not. You got a little scared when I told you they were coyotes.
Correct.
But I thought it was cool.
Yeah, it was nice. I mean, we got some great photos. I think that's I want to say it's the prettiest sunset, but it's up there, I think.
It was a really good sunset. I wouldn't put it in my top five, but it was really good. But then again, yeah. I purposely go out to see a ton of sunsets, so I've seen a bunch.
Yeah. Then we went back to the hotel.
Yep.
Definitely learned our lessons going back the way we came and did not go 40 miles over.
Yep.
All right. We went back to Joshua Tree that next morning, right? And Ryan found a hike on all trails.
No, it was not on all trails.
Where'd you find this hike?
So I found it I mentioned this book before on this podcast. It's the National Geographic Top 10 Best of Everything National Parks Guide book. And it was listed as one of the top 10 best hikes with a twist. And I have since looked up this hike, and the only record of this hike on the internet is that it's mentioned in this book.
Yeah, Ryan led us through the desert for God knows how long, and then I decided I wasn't going any farther, so I sat on a rock in the middle of Joshua Tree by myself, and I made friends with lizards.
So yeah, this trail, which might not be a trail, but it kind of is a trail, is called the Eagle Cliff Mine Loop.
It's not a trail.
The guidebook said that you can see three different mines on this 3-mile hike, which is what I read. And I stopped reading at that, and I've since gone back to it, and I clearly gloss over the part where it says you need to consult with rangers first before taking on this hike. Because as we got into it, we noticed pretty quickly it goes away from like this one tiny actual trail that was probably only a 1/2 mile long and just starts following game trails.
Yep. Ryan got us lost in the middle of the desert.
And you pretty much gave up after the first incline, but I wanted to at least get to the first mine, and the first mine was the titular Eagle Cliff mine before turning around. So I carried on ahead without you. I have to say the mine was really cool. It was next to a bunch of desert apple trees, and there's tons of artifacts just still hanging around just because no one really knows about this trail. But
it's not a trail. It's the middle of the desert.
But there's an actual mine there.
Yeah, that's kind of cool, but it was definitely not a trail.
And there was like an old encampment with like windows like built into the rock. It was really cool. But yeah, so then I spent like 10 minutes there enjoying it, taking pictures, and then turned around. And once I turned around, I lost the trail and got scared. But then I looked up and I noticed there was the road was right there, so I could clearly just walk back to the road. But then I realized I had no way to get back to you. I left in the middle of the desert.
Yeah.
And this was after we've been seeing the whole time, like every single building near the park had that missing person sign, who clearly just got lost and died of exposure to the heat.
Yeah.
So I like the week before I subscribed to All Trails Pro. I put this trail into All Trails Pro, downloaded it, and used it for the first time when I got lost, and it led me right back to the trail. All Trails Pro is great, but obviously you should not use it for the first time in an emergency situation like this. No. You should use it beforehand, but luckily it worked for us. I met back up with you, and we headed back to the car safely.
I was pretty annoyed.
I was not. I had so much fun on that hike, other than the getting lost part.
It wasn't a hike. It was riding off-roading with feet.
I mean, it clearly led to the mine. It clearly was going to lead to other mines. It was just a game trail. It was more game trail than hiking trail.
All right. Let's talk about our drive back to San Diego.
The only thing I remember from that is when we were closing in on San Diego, there was that weird part where people were cutting through lanes and then traffic just stopped.
Yeah.
And I had to make that quick stop in traffic, and the auto brake in the car went off.
Yep.
And I never experienced it. It scared me because it all of a sudden the car just started stopping on its own.
Yeah, it was weird. We had a pretty cool rental car though, which you mentioned in the last episode.
Yeah, the rental car we had for this trip, it was a Jeep, was my favorite rental car we've ever got.
We were going to San Diego for one purpose and one purpose only: Cabrillo Visitor Center and Viewing Deck.
Or Cabrillo National Monument.
Yeah, that one.
Cool viewing deck. And that's a cool visitor center.
Yeah.
So, this national monument is in honor of a Spanish explorer of the area. There's like two components to it. There's the visitor center, which is the main campus that overlooks San Diego. And that has stunning views of San Diego and the bay there.
Yeah, it does. It overlooks the entire city. Would recommend if you're going out that way.
And then I just remember the visitor center being like very similar to Biscayne's visitor center, Biscayne National Parks, where it was like elevated and it had a lot of ocean related stuff, but ultimately like wasn't that interesting.
I remember dog fights outside.
What?
Yeah, there were planes dog fighting outside, like mock dog fighting. I have a video of it.
Really? I don't remember this at all.
Really? Yeah. There's like two World War II planes flying around, like chasing each other in the air.
Oh, like, okay. Yeah, I remember this.
Yeah.
This was in the bay, because it overlooks the military base there.
Yeah, but they were definitely like recreational pilots.
Yeah.
Then
the other section of Cabrillo is it Cabrillo, Cabrillo? What do you think?
Cabrillo? Spanish, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll go with that one.
Okay. The other section was the shoreline, which was somehow even more stunning, I thought, personally, than the part that overlooks San Diego. But there was a lot of signs there to look out for whales. But unfortunately, we were in the off season, so we did not see any.
No whales, big sad.
But we still got to see the waves crashing against the cliffs. That was really cool.
Yeah, there are a lot. There's a lot of parking down there, from what I remember. And it wasn't too crowded. Drive down was kind of weird.
Did we drive down there? I thought we just walked.
We might have walked.
Because we walked from the visitor center area to that lighthouse that was closed down.
And then we walked down. Yeah, yep.
Yeah. That's so good. I like Cabrillo. That was a nice, fun half-day adventure. Nothing more. But it's definitely a great way to spend half a day.
I don't think there were any other national park sites in San Diego. I think it was just that one, was it?
Yeah, just that one.
Yeah, which is unfortunate because San Diego sounds like a fun city to hang out in.
Yeah, baseball game there one time. That's apparently one of the best stadiums.
Yeah. The San Diego. Yeah. Anyway, let's go back to where we were, Cabrillo's Shoreline. Oh, we stayed in Yorba Linda that night. And every time, so sidetracking, every time we go to a hotel, I ask where there's a diner. And for some reason in California, every time I asked if there was a diner in the area, they pointed me at Denny's. Denny's is not a diner.
It technically is a diner. It's
Denny's is garbage.
they don't have I mean,
Is
California
definitely a,
specializes in Mexican food.
yeah.
Their thing.
It's like New England does, It's a New England thing, I think. East Coast.
Yeah, probably.
I don't think Florida. I don't think Florida had any diners that I remember. Waffle House, though.
Waffle House is not a diner. If Denny's is not a diner,
No,
Waffle House
Waffle House is its own institution. Yeah, you just don't like Waffle House.
I don't.
That's, anyway, we stayed at Yorba Linda. I don't remember the name of the hotel.
It was the Extended Stay America in Yorba Linda.
Yeah, we walked around. We went to a Target. To a Target back there?
No. That was.
No, that
We had
was
to, like, when did we go to the Target?
We went to the Target beginning, but we walked around and there was just like a Target and another store in the area behind the hotel. You remember that?
It was like a mic.
Yeah.
Yeah, anyway, yeah, we somehow ended up in like a craft store, like Michael's trying to buy a
A
bottle
bottle opener.
for some reason.
Ryan needed a bottle opener for something. And we went to a Michael's craft store.
That was our only option within walking distance.
Yep.
Then we also went through that drive-through restaurant, which you did not like, but I liked because it had beer and tacos.
It
So,
was a drive-through diner. It didn't make any sense.
and once again, this is also a place that does not exist anymore, which is
Oh, really?
I looked at the map, and it's now a Indian food restaurant.
Yeah, okay. Huh, that's weird.
But yeah, that's a reoccurring theme with this trip. It's like everywhere we went to, it doesn't exist anymore. Yeah, in announcing Buffalo Wild Wings to Parkmanship Classics.
Was this the hotel we left all our camping supplies in and shoved in a cabinet?
Yes, it
We shoved
all
like
of the
firewood,
firewood.
marshmallows.
I forgot about marshmallows. We only did the s'mores the one night.
Yeah. We planned for two camping trips, but we only did one.
Yeah.
What else happened? Oh, the next day we went back to Channel Islands because we were kind of close.
Wait, we went to the visitor center.
Center.
We mentioned on the last episode is on the mainland in Ventura, and I also mentioned last week it's one of my favorite national park visitor centers just because it has that aquarium there,
Aquarium.
that visitor
Yeah.
center. So cool.
Yeah, I liked it. And then we went back to Santa Monica. What
Before
activity?
that, we went to go eat in Ventura. We went to this place called Lure Fish House.
Oh, that's right. It was really fancy. We were in like the it was the seafood place, right?
Yep.
Yep.
I thought it was really good. They had good fish and chips, and they had this killer pineapple coleslaw that was delicious. That was amazing.
Don't remember that.
You don't eat coleslaw, that's why you don't remember.
No, I don't remember what we did between that and that. Did we just drive around for a bit?
No, I mean we spent a good time at the visitor center. We ate and then we went to I think we slept in that day is what it was.
That makes more sense. So I feel like we usually would not eat lunch that early. I think it was the day of the flight, wasn't it?
No, it wasn't. We had this is our last full day.
Oh, that's right. And we went back to Yorba Linda that night.
Yeah, but before we went back to Yorba Linda, we went
To
also
channel.
we're going through LA traffic. Yorba Linda is south of LA. Ventura is way north of LA, and then we went to back to Santa Monica Mountains. We hiked Solstice Canyon, which is another district of the Santa Monica Mountains.
Yeah, it was good.
You remember that hike?
Not oh yeah, it had that burned down building, right?
Yep.
Yeah, it was good. I mean, we drove the California coast that day a lot, which is really fun.
Yes, you're right. We did spend a lot of time driving. Was it US Route 1?
Yeah,
That
it
one's
was
called.
nice. Yeah, California coastline. I don't know what it's actually called. There's actually a name for it.
The suburbs of LA are amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a lot of fun driving that. Saw some cool cars. Sat in some terrible traffic. It was fun for, driving around. Yeah, signing my that hike was cool because it ended at a burned house.
There was two. It was like two ruins.
Yeah, but they
And
weren't like old ruins. They were like,
1950s,
geez, yeah.
70s even.
Yeah.
It was the second half of the 20th century for sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, I thought the back one was cool, especially because it had like that stone floor that you just walked on
Yep.
that would just kind of like melt into the wilderness.
Yeah, it was really cool.
And then like the other thing I loved about that hike was some sort of wildflowers in bloom, so it smelled really nice constantly. I just remember that smell.
Don't remember that. I remember it was really hot and everything was brown while we were out there. Like the entire, like all the grass was just dead. It was so hot.
And we kind of went at the beginning of Golden Hour too, so everything was colorful.
Yeah. I would do that hike again if we were in the area.
Oh, I would too. It
Yeah.
would I prefer Sandstone Peak. But yeah, this was another great hike in the mountains, and it's definitely more accessible to get to than Sandstone Peak.
That was our last full day there. Flight home. I remember we returned the rental car and it was on the shuttle and like 90 Ubers were cutting each other off trying to get in. So we got off the shuttle and just walked up the ramp to LAX.
I don't remember this. I mean,
Do you not?
I prefer walking anyway, so it's probably business as usual for me.
Yeah. I mean, the flight home wasn't bad. Was that the flight where we had telephones in the arms, which was really weird? Or was that Florida?
That was this one.
Oh, yeah, that was really weird. It was really out of date,
And I
that
remember
flight.
we ate lunch in LAX at a brewery, which made me happy.
Yeah, it was good. It was a good trip overall. Speaking of food, Ryan, what time is it?
It's time for the fry review of the week.
All right.
So now I'm picking what we're reviewing here.
Oh
Oh yeah, I'm gonna go easy on you. I'm going with the obvious choice.
Yeah.
How would you rate the fries from that magical place known as In-N-Out?
Good, actually. So I think they're better than Shake Shack. I recently just had Shake Shack today. The one in Danbury is not great, I'm gonna be honest with you. And I don't remember the Mets game ones being that great either. But the In-N-Out fries were really good because they're shoestring cut.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Give them like 4 out of 5.
Okay.
Everyone says they're like overrated, but I think they're just fine. I mean, it's fast food fries. Like, if we had In-N-Out here, they'd probably be meh. But because it's out there, it's something different. It's like when we go to Texas, I want to try Whataburger. But yeah, it was okay. I think they were great. Ooh, excuse me, yawning here. Brian, as some a connoisseur in unigrids, I imagine you picked some up while we were in California.
Of course, I didn't come out either, so I still have them.
Yep. What is the best unigrid from this trip?
Oh, that's an interesting question. I think the best one is Channel Islands. It has, like tons of pictures of the wildlife, which is a huge variety on Channel Islands just because there's so many endemic species on there. It has, some of the recreational opportunities, like it mentions, kayaking and hiking. And then, has like a pretty interesting map of the Channel Islands, like the series of islands. It shows you like what parts are actually owned by the National Park Service. Some of them are owned by like private wildlife organizations, like Santa Cruz, the one we went to. Like over half of that is owned by a private wildlife organization. The rest is owned by the National Park Service. So it's, actually much bigger than what we actually had access to. So yeah, that was my favorite of the five that we that I got was the Channel Islands Unigrid.
Okay. Yeah, it was good. Let's get into our usual top three of the week here. We're gonna choose our top three parks from our Southern California. I guess I'll kick it off. I think three would have to be Cabrillo. Cabrillo. We'll figure out how that's pronounced and give you an update next week or next episode. I just like the shoreline. It was really pretty. Number two was Channel Islands, definitely. Just more seaside. Cool trip way to get there. Another remote park. And number one is definitely Joshua Tree. Joshua Tree, a lot of cool sights, a lot of good photos. Yeah, that's my top three.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
So my top three is number three is Channel Islands National Park. Once again, I just love the variety of wildlife that was on there that we got to see. I mean, we didn't see that much. We saw lizards, we saw some pelicans, we saw seals on the way there. We heard more seals, but I just thought it was so cool seeing the island fox, such a rare species, and we saw a ton of them while we were there.
Yeah.
Some good hiking on there. So yeah, I love Channel Islands National Park. Number two for me was Joshua Tree National Park. Just interesting environment. Got to, climb some boulders, had some fun that way. Wasn't really we did hike, but a lot of fun bouldering. And then the flora there is just stunning. The Joshua trees are interesting. The Chala Cactus Garden is so unique. But yeah, just a lot to look at there. And number one, I'm really disappointed this didn't make your list. But number one, my favorite park in this area is the Santa Monica Mountains National Recreation Area. The Santa Monica Mountains just has such great hiking, Solstice Canyon, and the scenery is just stunning there. You can just see the Pacific Ocean from the top of Sandstone Peak. There's that just amazing, intense ride up to Circle X Ranch. But yeah, I've just had so many great experiences this at the Santa Monica Mountains National Recreation area. So that's number one for me.
Well, you've been there multiple times. That thing, yeah.
Well, you have too.
Well, no, you went earlier on a different trip, yeah? Yeah. Anyway, well, I'm Andrew,
I'm Ryan.
and this was Parkmanship.